Did you put the blanket over your head?
No.
Is that for next time?
Should I get the blanket?
No, it's okay. It's okay.
Do you want the blanket?
1, 2, 3.
How are you guys?
Good. My Mondays are usually pretty full, so quite busy. But had a nice evening meal with the family. Had curry for dinner with some croquet and karage, which is very nice.
Oh, croquet is in the sport.
Yeah. chucked a bat in there as well for good measure. And now just having a nice glass of red wine and talking to some of my favourite people. So yeah,
a good voice is in your head. And me and Burke. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, it was pretty good. I had a good weekend. I don't know if you guys get to get Father's Day gifts from anybody, but
happy Father's Day, Burke.
Yeah.
Was it yesterday?
It was yesterday.
It was yesterday.
Mm. Yeah. So I always, of course, for me, whenever Father's Day or Mother's Day comes around, I just like think about my parents. So, yeah, I always kind of forget to get something for my wife, forget that she's a mother, but she's always really good about Father's Day. And, yeah, she and the girls got me some craft beer made supposedly from the waters of Mount Fuji.
Wow.
Nice. So I was like taking pictures of it. My daughter was like, yeah, don't you want to drink your beer, blah 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 and stuff. So I was having a drink of it, and then my wife was like, it's really not that expensive or special or anything. So, so I was like, oh, okay. But anyways, yeah, it was nice to get some Fujisan water beer.
What was the brand of the beer?
Can't even remember. It starts with a T. I have a photo that I took. It is called, man, I can't even read it because it's like stylish lettering. I don't know. I'll figure it out. But yeah, anyway. Oh, Fujizakura. Sorry. Fujizakura Heights Beer. Mm. There you go.
I've never heard of that one. I don't think I've seen that around because I usually, you know, kind of look out for unique beers or ales when I go like grocery shopping or something, or to the convenience stores. But yeah, that's one I haven't seen around. So I was just wondering where your wife might have got that.
It was probably an Amazon delivery, knowing that she's like Amazon's best customer. it actually came in a Father's Day box that said Happy Father's Day and everything from the company, not from my wife. But yeah, so anyways. Oh.
That's nice. Nice. That's nice.
Matt, how about you, Matt?
Yeah.
I had an interesting weekend. A few things happened.
Curious to hear.
Oh, yeah. had a night out in Susquehanna. For those who don't know Sapporo, well, Sapporo is split up into three areas, isn't it? So there's the shopping area with the, that's kind of north side, isn't it, with the Sapporo station. Then you head further south, so the middle section's Odori. That's a lot of shopping and restaurants and bars, etc. And the big Odori Park that kind of cuts through Sapporo. And then on the south side is the kind of entertainment district, isn't it? A lot of bars and restaurants.
Biggest entertainment district outside of Tokyo.
Is it?
Susquehanna.
Yeah. Yeah, right. But we, you know, when you go to all those buildings and you see, like, you know, you have all the restaurants and bars, and then you see thousands of those little bars, you know, those little signs everywhere. And we kind of went up into a few of those buildings just to try and find a different place to check out.
Hmm.
Mm. And they're always really strangely named, little bars. So, we didn't go to any of them because they're all locked or they're all closed. You know what I'm talking about, you know? They're either, I don't know what they are, if they're hostess bars or snack bars or whatever. But we sort of walked around there and went to this one place, man, and this guy was extremely rude. And I'm pretty sure, because I was a foreigner, it was a wine bar. Have you guys heard of Bar Tutti? T-U-T-T-I?
I feel like I have.
Yeah, I feel like I've heard of that. Hold on, I do know. Is it the
standing?
Yes, the stand-up bar. They have two branches, I think. There's like a 2T1 and, well, 2T, and then there's like 2T2.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Because they're a bunch of assholes.
The staff or like the clientele?
No, I think it was the owner or the staff. I'm not sure. Anyway, we went up there. It was like me and my missus, and I said, "Oh, there's outside seating. Can we sit here, please?" And he's like, "No, go away." Like pretty much, like really rude. You know, he's like, "That's reserved." Huh. Like, oh, okay. Can we go inside? He's like, "No," and I was like, "Oh." So then, like, and he's like, "You know, hyakkanin. You know, there's 100 people who've reserved this place or something like that." And I was like, "Man, you're an asshole." So. Yeah, so don't go there. Bar Tutti, man. It's next to the bird watching bar, anyway.
Yeah, so, yeah, I have been there before.
I have been there once or twice before, but I don't know what's happened to them. But they've, it's not very nice. So I went online to give them a 1-star rating.
And then, on Google.
Yeah, that's all I can do, really. You know, if anybody listening, you can give them a 1-star review as well.
Well, I think that Google review thing is quite useful, because I was recently looking for hospitals or clinics to check out in Sapporo. And, you know, like in Japan, you don't have a GP like we do back at home. So once you have some kind of sickness or injury, you have to find a special clinic that specializes in that. So each time you have something new, you're always going to like a new place if you get a non-recurring injury. So I had a new one that I had in my foot. So I was finding, I guess, a foot doctor. And then, yeah, so I obviously, naturally, I go to Google, type it in, and then all the reviews come up. And there's so many places that have like really bad reviews, like 2 stars and, you know, 2 stars, 3 stars out of 5. And my wife is like, you know, just stay away from those places. But it was quite hard finding a place that was more than 3 stars. But I managed to find one in the end that was like 4. That was pretty good. And the doctor spoke really good English as well, which is almost probably the first time I've actually experienced that in Sapporo, where the doctor comes out speaking English straight away. And I understood everything he said. And he was using like, you know, really difficult technical language that I mostly could understand. But yeah, it was a good experience. So I recommend the Google reviews. Yeah, trust them.
Well, you know. I'm gonna do it. Like, yeah, screw those guys, man.
Do it.
doesn't make sense to me at all, you know. It's like me opening up a bar selling sake in Australia, and then if a Japanese person rocks up, I tell them to get, you know, piss off. Stop ruining my vibe, you know. So, yeah, I don't get it. But, yeah, when I went online, other people had left negative reviews as well about how rude they are. So maybe it's not just a foreign thing, but, yeah, I was pretty, left a bad taste in my mouth pretty much, you know. Have you guys ever experienced, I mean, obviously every country has racism, but have you guys ever experienced that in Japan? Because it does happen occasionally, doesn't it?
Occasionally. Actually, more than occasionally. I was going to say, though, before that, you might be helping them out by giving them a bad review, because then, you know, you'll be turning other foreigners away from going there. I think if you really want to get your revenge, you should be recommending that all foreigners go there, pay this guy a visit, give him a nice aisatsu, you know, just put the place out with all foreigners, basically.
Yeah, and demand the free drink that you get when you rock up.
Yeah. But actually, Ben and I have kind of talked about bad experience for foreigners in a Susquehanna bar. I won't mention the bar, but oddly enough, it's not run by a Japanese person. It's a foreign-owned bar who hates when foreigners go there, basically.
Yes, yes. You might. You've definitely been there before, Matt, and you probably know what place it is, but yeah, we're not going to name it, but it's close to where you live.
Do they sell kebabs?
They could.
Bingo!
Yeah, I know them, man. Yeah, I had a few words with that guy once.
So that's good. I think for that place, it's not a race thing. It's just that guy is a dick. Right?
Yeah.
He just doesn't like. I think he just doesn't like guys. Like foreign guys.
Exactly. And I think that's the problem with this tootie place as well, right? He just wants girls to go into his bar or something. I think it's, he just doesn't like, but you know, like, anyway, just, it doesn't make sense to me. Why you would get in that? Oh, anyway.
No, it's important. I mean, people have those experiences pretty often in Japan. And I mean, I think it's always good to kind of talk about a little bit because you don't want it to build up and stuff.
You know? Yeah, otherwise you'll explode one day and just massacre a bunch of people or something.
Or just like
let it out on a podcast.
Yeah, don't do that. Or it'll just like, you know, there's a lot of people who get really discouraged by that. And I mean, I had a good friend live down in Honshu. I've had a few people actually, and I'm sure you guys know people too, who just like eventually they're just like, man, I don't need to put up with this anymore. Then they leave Japan, go back to their home country, and then realize there's many more problems back where they came from. So
yeah,
so it's good to kind of talk about it. Commiserate.
Yeah, they're on Facebook. I'm gonna send them a message as well.
What else they got? They got Twitter and Instagram. Let's go there as well. Forces.
That's right, man. They've stirred up a fucking typhoon here.
Here it comes.
See, I'm gonna take them down.
Yeah, I'm going to write them a letter.
Tootie wars.
Tell them how annoyed I am.
That's too bad. Was that the only, so that's the only thing you got to do on the weekend was go have that
experience? No. We went out and had a really good night in the end. So went to a really cool place called, I forget the name. I remember the bad place, but not the good place. How's that figure? Anyway, I'll think of it later. A farmy or something like that. It was like a bar with a pastor and stuff. But then on Sunday I went to just went on a drive up north to a place called Mikasa.
Yeah, Mikasa.
Yeah, it's
on the way to Furano, right?
Yeah, have you been there?
I passed one of the roads that goes to Furano. There's a couple routes you can take, but the one I usually take cuts through Mikasa.
Anyway, we drove in there, and then there's this huge kind of white... Oh, it's not huge, but it's about, I don't know, 5 stories. This big lookout tower on top of this mountain. So we parked down the bottom of the mountain, and it's about a 20-minute walk. So we went through these beautiful woods, nice breeze coming through. Went up to the tower, looked out, walked back down. And then when we got to the when we got to the bottom, there's like there's police cars and a ranger and all these guys.
Yeah.
I'm like, man, I was like, is my car okay? Like, and they're like, no, there's a bear, so you got to get out of here. I'm like, man, we've been up there for an hour just walking around. So, close encounters, I guess. So,
you sure somebody didn't call about you, perhaps?
I was naked, so yeah, it could have been that.
There's a shaved bear running around in those mountains.
With his big flabby belly hanging out.
He's wearing a hat too.
So that was pretty cool, man. Like, I thought, oh man, like, because I was kind of thinking, I wonder if bears are around this area, no? Because I usually carry something with me just in case, you know.
Nunchucks.
Yeah. So yeah, I could have been mauled.
Well, you know? Yeah, I think there was something in the news kind of at the beginning of spring of a couple of hikers being attacked in Sapporo by a bear.
Oh yeah.
Was it like Moiwa or something?
It was Moiwa. It was it wasn't hikers, it was like two researchers, I think. And they were checking out the den of the bear or something like that.
No,
that's a smart idea.
Yeah, but the thing is, like, I think they knew that there were cubs in there or something, and yet they were still checking it out or something like that. There was something really idiotic, even though they were researchers, there was something really idiotic about what they were doing. And, yeah. And
did they actually survive?
I don't know. Well, one guy was okay. One guy was not okay. And, yeah, I think we might have actually talked about that, but I can't remember. But yeah, I'm not sure what happened. But that trail is like the common trail that everyone uses, or so my wife was saying. I've never done the hike myself, but the one that, the hike that goes up to the top of, or is it, was it Moyo or was it Mariama? It might have been Mariama.
Oh, wow. Mariama.
Yeah. I think it was Mariama.
If it was that place, yeah, because that's like a really hike that loads of people do most weekends.
Yeah. Yeah, so it wasn't the Moyo hike. That's right. It was the Mariama hike, I think, yeah.
Because Moyo was quite a busy one too. I mean, it's a bit bigger than the Mariama one. But yeah, that's quite worrying that it was Mariama, because that's the one that I normally kind of start off at the beginning of the season just to warm up on. But yeah, this year I haven't done it. And that was one of the reasons that my wife was kind of scared about going hiking this year, just because she's just been hearing bear stories all the time. And yeah, I think she's pretty much given up on hiking now.
Well, they've got like kind of, oh, I don't know, like a lot of people consider it a bear problem, right? In Sapporo, because yeah, there's a lot of bears in Hokkaido, obviously. But usually, I mean, you got people that are like, you know, we need to don't kill the bears. And then there's other people like, you know, I got to take them out right away. That's what they usually do with the ones in the city. I was usually more on the side of, yeah, let's try to just protect them and get them back to the woods. But then, like, one of the sightings happened by my daughter's nursery school. So I was like, yeah, I got to take it out probably. Yeah.
Well, man, we drove around. We were trying to find the bear because I haven't seen it. I've never seen a wild bear before, and it's on my list. So have you guys ever seen a bear?
Man, I have. When I lived in Canada, I got really close to a couple of bears. BC, British Columbia, is quite similar to Hokkaido. There's a lot of brown bears and grizzly bears around. And on the ski resort I lived at, Whistler Village, so towards the end of the season, yeah, I guess around springtime, I was walking home from snowboarding, and a bear was shaking one of these cars, like, on the pathway to my house. Jeez. So I had to walk past the bear, and he was, because someone left a bag of rubbish in the car, so it was like shaking the car trying to get in. And I just saw him, carried on walking, didn't make eye contact, and just went about my regular day. I was a little bit afraid, I guess, but he was so preoccupied with getting the rubbish, I thought I'll be able to get past him.
Then you became friends.
Then we became friends. So that was the first time. And then the same year, the place I lived in was like this big kind of wood cabin, and a hot tub outside. So it was beautiful house, man. Awesome. And then one day, me and my housemates were just like all in the kitchen, and we saw a baby cub in the garden, and we had this stupid idea of, oh, let's get in the hot tub. Let's try and get in the hot tub. So my friend starts filming, and then a bunch of us get like, I don't know, you know, broomsticks and chairs, and we try and direct it into the hot tub. And then eventually it ran off. After that event, we just realized how stupid we were, because the mother must have been somewhere nearby, but luckily she didn't come out and attack us. But that could have gone really bad. But yeah, being, you know, 19, young, dumb, and full of cum, that's that shit happens. We were lucky.
Exactly. I just love that. So you saw a baby bear, you thought, let's get that into the hot tub.
Yeah, I think we were a little bit drunk at the time. It was kind of like early evening. Man. I think we just had a barbecue and stuff as well. So right.
Yeah, what are you meant to do if you see a bear? I mean, I've had this conversation with so many people, and
you're supposed to attack it, aren't you?
Yeah. No, hot tub first. Hot tub first, and then you attack.
Give him some beers.
Then get him drunk. Beers. Get him drunk. And then, yeah, put some stuff in the car for them to attack. No, you meant to, I don't know, you meant to walk back slowly with your looking big. Is that
it? Yeah, raise your arms up in the air. Make eye contact with it. I think you're supposed to. And don't show any fear whilst you're walking back and looking big and also growling at the same time.
Okay.
That's what I heard.
Okay. I've just gone online here. Remain still, stand your ground, but slowly wave your arms. He may recognize you as a human.
Anyways, I found some interesting news this week. This article was written June 15th. About a week ago. And we've spoke about this before, Burke, about, you know, young people marrying less these days. And the government did a survey at the end of last year, December to January 2021. To 2022, and apparently one in four singles in their 30s not willing to marry in Japan. And a big reason that this article says is because a lot of young people want to be free. They want their freedom. They don't want to be tied down and dealing with all the stresses of having a significant other.
It's a good call.
Yeah, I agree.
What do you think, Burke?
Well, I've said it before I got married, one of my coworkers in Japan said, I just want to give you one piece of advice before you get married, and it's probably the best advice you'll ever hear. And his advice was, don't get married. Right. He told me that like right before I got married. So
yeah, this article was quite interesting, and there was a lot of good comments that kind of came out of it. Yeah, a lot of people comments actually, 81 or so comments, mainly from foreign people, I think. But the article was to do with Japanese people, not international marriages. But one comment that kind of stuck out for me was. This is a good one. Just give us one reason as to why should any man or woman get locked in a lifetime contract. I like that. Good point. Because that's what it is, isn't it, really? You know, till death us do part.
Well,
according
to
Christianity anyway. Not about in other weddings or marriages.
Contracts can get broken though, can't they? Do you know, I think Hokkaido has the biggest divorce rate in the whole of Japan.
I knew that. Yeah, I definitely knew that. Yeah, I heard it's like one in three get divorced, which is quite similar to our home countries, isn't it?
Yeah, I wonder if people are still feeling the same way. I mean, marriage-wise in other countries.
My impression is that, yeah, I mean, I think like just the way society is going, people are a little bit looser about marriage in general, or at least, I mean, if you compare it to like going back to the 1950s or something, obviously. People's ideas about what life can be all about with a partner doesn't necessarily need to entail what this guy in the comments just called a lifetime contract. But I mean, this the reason why the Japanese aren't getting married isn't just because they don't want to give up the freedom of single life, meaning like they want to be party animals for their whole life or live as bachelors. I mean, obviously that's a big part of it.
It's being locked in financially too, isn't it?
Yeah, well, or it's just like, or especially in Japan, like if you're single, and I mean, it's this thing we keep talking about, it has to do a lot with wage levels. I mean, there's not too many people in Japan, especially who are in their 20s and 30s, that feel like they're pretty well off financially from the salary they're getting from work. So then if you tell them, too, that now they've got to be responsible for a young child's life and all their expenses and everything, it's that type of stuff that I think really hits home for a lot of these young Japanese people. And then it's even more pronounced for women because of what was traditionally expected of them if they did get married. So everything that they would perhaps be giving up from their, you know, bachelor, female bachelorette life by having to jump into some sort of traditional Japanese expectations for a wife and a marriage and stuff. So it's kind of stuff like that. Not like us foreigners who reject the idea of marriage because we want to enjoy, you know, this wonderful single racist Siskino life until the day we die. Yeah.
That would be the dream, I guess. But yeah, in reality, like you're saying, Burke, there's a lot of social issues that aren't really helping, and especially with, you know, things like shrinkflation that's going on, a upcoming recession that people are predicting, and also, you know, interest rates going up. Well, interest rates are going up around the world, but not Japan, because, I don't know, the government are kind of like manipulating the yen or something. I don't really understand what they're doing. Like, I don't know if you could fill us more about this information, Burke. You seem to be a bit more up to, you know, economics and business and finance and stuff, but talking about the government buying bonds or something like that, then we get that.
I am the de facto economics expert on this podcast. That's not very safe. Well, yeah, they're just buying government bonds to keep the interest rates low because, I mean, a huge part of Japan's rescue tactics for the economy is through real estate. And as you know, being a home purchaser within the last few years, like everybody, I mean, they're just trying to push everyone towards home ownership with these super low rates. And one thing that they say they're worried about, if they do start raising rates, then yeah, it would obviously greatly affect all those people who have bought homes at these super low rates. But I mean, they say even in the real estate market, if they were to start raising rates, there's no way they would be able to raise them at the same level or steps and intervals that they are overseas, because that would just like drastically damage the real estate market in Japan. So they might eventually have to do it, but I don't know, it's probably not going to be anytime soon. And if it is, it's not going to be a very large amount that they would raise it by. But, and also too, yeah, they're trying to support the all those firms that, you know, are benefiting. There was an article, something like Nintendo and some of these other firms are, you know, doing quite well because of the weekend. So I think there's probably some pressure from the business world as well in the other direction to keep the rates low.
I've been reading somewhere that, I don't know, what they're doing is kind of highly illegal or something, or it's not, you know, they're not supposed to be doing that. And apparently America might intervene. Was that true? Or was that just like some weird YouTuber I was listening to?
I mean, they talk about that. It's not illegal. It's just not widely accepted by the other strong economic nations in the world. I mean, it's, you know, everyone complains about people like China devaluing the yuan and stuff. And, you know, they're kind of saying that maybe Japan is doing the same thing here by not increasing rates like the rest of the world. But I don't think it's technically illegal.
It's just that a lot of the other countries are not doing that. So they're like saying, yeah, it's not good.
Well, it gives Japan an advantage in trade, obviously, if the yen is weak. So it hurts other countries.
Playing the game.
A little bit. But I'm trying to find it here, just going back to the wages, because we always talk about this. But it was saying something that Japan is like, I mean, everyone knows Japan has the third largest economy behind the U.S. and China, or behind the U.S. and China, but for nominal GDP, but for per capita GDP, says Japan is something like 28th in the world. And then I'm trying to find it here, but it was specifically something about wages.
Well, I mean, in my experience, I don't think since I've been here, in 15 years, I've had one pay increase, and that was about 7 years ago. And I think that's quite common for I mean, if you're working part time, then you probably have never received pay increase. Full timers, I know Berg, you must have had a few, but
honestly,
significant.
It only happens usually if you change jobs, and well, actually, I wouldn't say that. There was one company that was pretty generous with during reviews and stuff. But I mean, yeah, usually wages don't go up because it's lifetime employment. It's just based on how long you've been with the company, which is another thing that affects obviously people's decisions to get married. But I found it here. This is looking at the average annual income of member countries published by the OECD, Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development. And can you guys guess which country ranked first in terms of wage levels? Which country has the best wages, basically?
Must be a Scandinavian country.
Yeah, that's
surely.
What I was thinking. Yeah.
Norway.
Is that your guess?
Around that area. Yeah.
I'll go Sweden then.
Sweden. hate to say it, I don't believe this is in the region you're referring to, but Iceland ranked.
Oh, that's what I meant. So oh, I was near enough. Confused. Yeah,
close enough.
Ranked, they're all Norse. They're all Vikings.
They're all blondes.
Yeah, you know. They ranked first with about, this is a for, what is it, average wage levels or something. Yeah. They ranked first with $66,504 US dollars. Oh. Luxembourg was second. Switzerland, there you go, was third. And the United States was fourth. And dear sweet Japan, got to scroll down this list a little ways, was 19th with $40,573 US dollars.
Being the average salary.
Yes. I don't know. It doesn't actually specifically say.
That sounds about right, though, for an average salary.
Yeah. I was going to say Luxembourg as well.
Yeah. But anyways, I mean, if that's what the average salary is, and then it's even, there's still a gender gap for women. In Japan, something like 25% difference between men's and women's salaries. So you can kind of see, like, women... unless you have like a double income family and both are doing quite well, I mean, who really, and now you've got all this inflation, who is really thinking about having kids?
It was married. All getting married. I mean, like, quite a few more couples that are just deciding not to get married but just staying together and having non-communal weddings, non-communal marriage. That's not the right word. Where they're just not officially married.
Is that just like a common marriage?
Common law marriage, something like that. Yeah, but still having children as well, but without the burden of paying for a ceremony, because that's obviously expensive. And I think there's no tax benefits too once you're married, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
I was reading.
Go ahead.
Have you heard of a thing called a practice called Omiai?
Mm. Yes.
Oh, why don't you tell me what it is?
It is the parents introduce. Their children to another parent's children without them kind of knowing. Well, not knowing, but it's like a blind date by your parents.
Exactly. It's pretty strange, isn't it? Oh, I guess it's, anyway. But in recent years, however, there's been a proxy Omiai event where the parents meet without their children present. And the parents chat to each other and try and... promote their child. So for example, he's patient, so I'm sure he'll do well in marriage, said one man as he showed off his son's photo in the profile. The woman he was speaking with murmured her reason for participating. I really wanted to see my daughter's child, So it's pretty it's a strange thing, isn't it, really?
Well, apparently it's getting more popular now because of all these problems with kids getting married, but I mean, that was kind of more common practice, obviously, back in the day. And I've heard, I mean, now, just like you're saying, they've got all sorts of services now where they set people up. But I've also heard it's, I mean, I knew a couple people in Japan, I still know them, who got married by arranged marriages. And one of them, it was more so because their family was, I don't know, I guess a pretty wealthy family in Tokyo. And so they kind of felt it best that they married within the same class of people. And so that's why that happened. But in that situation, I asked him about it, and it was basically, and I think this is how a lot of them work, is they kind of get resumes, you know?
Yeah.
Right. And, so in that sense, you know, if this is,
if it works,
I mean, yeah, if it's a lifetime contract, maybe that might be a better approach than this kind of like, let's see what happens. You know?
It does seem a bit lazy to me from the children. Like, and the children, they're not children. They're like, what's the average age is 33 for women and 38 for men. It's like, Mom, Dad, can you go find me a wife or go find me a husband if you could.
Well, I don't think they want to do it, do they? I think it's like their parents forcing them to meet someone that way because they don't trust their own children for meeting a partner or something. So maybe for like, yeah, you know, adults who are a bit shy, maybe not so sociable, that could be a good method. Otherwise, they might remain single for the rest of their lives.
What would your mum say about you, Ben, if she went to one of these things?
Well, my mum tried to set me up with a couple of girls.
He's a hard work boy, lad.
Back in the day, yeah, when I was kind of early 20s, she's always like, oh, my friend's got this daughter. She's you know, she's stunned to be a doctor and a lawyer and blah, blah, blah. But my first question is always like, you know, is she hot? That was almost my first question. And my mum can never answer that because that wasn't important for her. It was like what they studied, you know, how rich they were, how dedicated they were, and the fact that they were Chinese. That was like the main things. But yeah, I never met any of them. I just turned them all down before. Maybe I should have gave them a go. Yeah, I don't know. But
maybe.
She never had a picture, so.
Well, what would your parents say about you, Burke? Would they be like, yeah, Burke's a, he's a sensible young man.
Good swimmer.
I don't know. I may have, man, I've never given it any thought. Matt, what would they say for you?
I don't know. He's tall.
Handsome. Long hair.
Handsome. Yeah, used to be a model.
Looks like Johnny Depp.
Exactly.
Oh, that's right.
Johnny Depp now, not as before, unfortunately. He's getting a bit old chubby, old Johnny, isn't he?
Matt, you know, I don't know. We kind of talked about before. My wife's friends, some of them have gone through a marriage. I mean, they've done the whole dating route, and they just were so disappointed with all the guys that they met that in the end they went through one of these services where they wasn't necessarily speed dating. It was a lot more organized and formal, and they had a whole system of how people would get in touch with each other afterwards. And one of her friends is happily married now with a good guy. And they've got a kid and, you know, he had a good job and everything. And that's exactly what she was looking for. So yeah, I probably wouldn't be able to do it myself, but.
Would you like to do it for your kids in the future, Burke? Find someone for them?
I would definitely like to control everything about my daughter's future. So yes, very quickly, my answer is yes. I would like to choose exactly who they marry or don't marry for that matter.
Can you imagine the poor guy's got to meet Burke? He's going to sit him down with this questionnaire.
Exactly.
Have a 5-minute roll to see what he's all about.
Yeah. Check
bring
out,
your gi.
Check out my Google reviews. They're all 1-star for for father-in-law. So, yeah, stay away.
Yeah, but I mean, dating now, it would be easier now because everything's kind of on your apps, right? You got whole bunch of these dating sites, don't you?
Well, that's how apparently everyone meets these days, like the young kids, I've heard. You know, I teach at university, and pretty much all my students always ask them, oh, how do you meet your significant others? And they always say, yeah, online apps. They didn't say which ones. I think there's quite a few in Japan. Definitely not Tinder. Like Tinder's maybe a bit old for them now. I think that was like the first one that kind of started it all.
What was that one you were telling us about? Grindr or something then, wasn't it? That was the one you were pushing, weren't you? But the problem is, though, also, with these things, you're going to put your best photo on there. It's all going to be kind of manipulated. And then when you talk to that person and you think of the best thing you could say, as opposed to back in, I sound like an old man now, like back in my day, you know, you'd have to ring the girl at home on a house phone and talk to the parents. Oh, is your daughter home? Yeah. But, yeah, I think I'd prefer the dating app, I think. That'd be easier, wouldn't it?
I don't know. I don't think so. Like, one of my relatives in England, she uses all those dating apps, and she's been on so many dates, met so many people, and she still hasn't been able to lock someone in. She's met, like, people she really likes, but then they don't like her as much because there's always someone else that could be better, you know? So as soon as you annoy them one time, like you're on a date, you do one thing wrong, make them a single mistake, and it's that, like, gone, next one.
Because it's easier to find the next
one. Yeah, because it's just so easy, you know? She has, like four dates a week, you know?
Wow.
Isn't that, like, I mean, kind of feel bad for any girl that uses those or woman that uses those apps, because women probably have a completely different mindset than men who are using that app, wouldn't you say?
Exactly. Yeah. And it seems like the people that she was meeting were, yeah, had a completely different aim or objective. Yeah. To, you know, she's like looking for a long-term partner, but the guy she ends up dating or likes, they don't want that at all. They just want, you know, to just have fun and meet a bunch of girls. So I think it's quite hard to meet someone using those apps. I mean, I've never used them, but I'm kind of happy that I don't have to, because I think it'd be quite stressful. You know, you're going on how many, like, first dates all over and over again, those same questions. So what do you do? What are your hobbies? You know, it just gets pretty dry after a while.
Well, I've been doing it for fun. I used to use Burke's photo, and I don't get any hits at all. I don't know why. Don't know why at all. Sorry, Burke.
I can only help so much, you know. There's only so much I can do.
I think we're coming up to that time. You guys want to add anything else to say before we say goodbye?
I don't know. Did we come up with a solution to the problem? It sounds like all Matt's been thinking about is starting some account on OnlyFans and some other things. I don't know if we got anything else figured out, but I don't know. Nothing else to say.
There's nothing else we can do about this problem, is there?
Well, it comes up like every year, just they talk about it. Yeah, so.
Yeah, and the age just keeps going up. So now it's like in their 30s.
And the birth rates.
It'll be in their 40s.
And the birth rates are decreasing. It's the lowest it's ever been.
Yeah, according to Elon Musk, Japan's going to disappear. So,
according to what?
Elon Musk, didn't he say? I mean, he was saying it kind of tongue-in-cheek, but yeah, because of declining birth rate, he's kind of, trying to talk about how Japan is a warning sign for the rest of the world.
What's the solution?
Get out there and breed.
We got to get out there, boys. We got to start making, you know, making this country great again.
For the good of the country, right?
On that note, I think it's probably time to say goodbye. If you enjoyed the podcast, hit Matt up at
Burke Forever. That's my
at gmail.com. Leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts, and if you want to ask us some questions or something, you can get in touch voicesinjapan@gmail.com, and please write to us. If you want to add to this conversation, you could share some comments on Twitter and Facebook. I know Burke and Matt posted a lot of things recently on our Facebook feed. There's some good pictures of the that festival, Jigoku. Is it Jigoku Festival?
Yeah, the Jigoku Festival. Yeah.
So check those out.
I also went into that haunted horror house thing you were talking about last week, Ben.
Oh, at the Hokkaido Jingu Festival.
Yeah, I went into that film, but so I'll have to put that up from last week.
How was it? Did you scream like a girl like I did?
No, but there were four, like, six-year-old girls in their little yukatas in front of me, and they were screaming their heads off. And I just kept thinking of you, Ben. Anyway, I filmed the whole walkthrough, so I'll put that up.
Yeah. All right, everyone. Thanks for joining us, and catch us next time.
Okay, thank you. See you.
As always.
This episode is sponsored by the Red House Rusutsu, which is a restaurant located in the heart of Rusutsu Ski Resort. They're open both in the winter and the summer, and they offer a mix of Japanese and Asian food and Western-style dishes. That includes shabu-shabu with Wagyu beef and also Hokkaido Wagyu beef steak. Prices range from under 1,000 yen to about 5,000 yen. They also have high-end Japanese whiskey available. Bookings are not required, but highly recommended in the winter period. Their website is theredhouse.jp. So if you're enjoying winter sports or summer activities at Rusutsu Resort or just going through the area, why not stop by the Red House for a delicious meal? They are open 12 to 3 for lunch and 5 to 9 p.m. for dinner.